Our passage this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 31, and it says this. It says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." This is the word of the Lord, and together we say, amen. Thanks be to God. James K.A. Smith, in his book, Desiring the Kingdom, he uses this illustration. He says, "I would like for you to imagine that you were on tour of one of the most popular religious destinations of any city. It doesn't matter what city, just any large city. And everyone in here, by the way, is familiar with this type of religious destination, this type of religious site, although you might not associate it with worship or liturgy or religion, but it definitely includes all of those things. If you see this religious destination from afar, you are completely impressed by the vast amounts of parking around this religious destination. There are no sidewalks to this place. It is all parking. And it is not only parking on Sundays, it is parking all week long. This speaks to the popularity. As you begin to make your way to this expansive building, this religious destination, it's clear that the architecture of this building was influenced by medieval cathedrals. There are a combination of glass and concrete. It is beautiful, but all around this are symbols and logos and text that makes it clear what is going on in this building. You enter through the huge glass archways and the doors, and you're ushered into a narthex, or a foyer of sorts, which is there to receive you, to orient you, to channel the new worshipers. They even have a large mat, kind of a worshiping aid, to help direct the worship of first-time visitors. As you make your way further into the interior of this religious destination, your attention is automatically forced upwards, because the only windows in this religious destination are to the vast sky, nothing around you to remind you of the parking lot you just left. This gives a feeling of openness and transcendence and retreat. And like many other worship environments, the religious destination is governed by a kind of a calendar, a liturgical calendar with different festivals and colors and symbols. In fact, they're always adding new seasons because more people come with every new season. As you wander, you're struck that not only are there images, but there are rich images and icons that line all around. Real pictures, statues, and moving images offering the embodiment of what the good life looks like. So good that, in fact, sometimes you might even want to step in their shoes. And this temple is made of all kinds of chapels. And as you kind of pause and reflect on what you see on the outside, you want to go into these temples. And when you go into one of the temples, you're greeted with kind of an acolyte who welcomes you and is there to show you around, but is also wise enough to give you the space you need to look at things on your own. After time spent focused and searching among what the faithful call the racks, you grab your newfound item that's going to give you life, and you proceed to the altar where the consummation of worship is going to take place. There's a priest behind who oversees this exchange. You make your sacrifice, you leave your donation, and in return, you leave with something real and tangible, wrapped in the colors and the symbols of that season. And you're released by the priest with a benediction. "Have a great day. Hope we see you soon." And you make your way out of that chapel, not to leave the temple, but to go on to the next chapel to find something that will give you life again. Can anyone guess what the religious destination is that I'm talking about? It is the mall. And this example gives us two things that we learn about worship from the mall. The first thing is this, is that the environments that we spend time in, the social and the cultural practices we participate, they influence what we want. They influence our desires. They influence what we see as the good life. As an example, if you go to the mall and you observe all of the icons, and you observe all of the messages and the texts and everything else, if you sift through the racks, if you see the satisfaction of the people who are walking away with their life-giving purchase, then in time you're going to learn to desire beauty. You're going to want to desire things that are beautiful, well-designed, and full of style. The same thing with so many other things. The environments that we spend time, the social and the cultural practices which we participate, they teach us, they influence us what we want, what we desire, what we see as the good life, what we see as a redeemed life. The second thing we learn from the idea of the mall as a place of worship is this. Once we decide what the good life looks like, once we decide what our desire is, then everything we do to pursue that thing, that is worship. We begin to do things to get the things that we want. And those things are worship. Worship is the active pursuit of what we want. Again, if you've been taught to influence, if you've been influenced to think that the good life is actually found in owning things that are beautiful, well-designed, and colorful, then everything you do to achieve and to get and to obtain that good life is worship. Flipping through fashion magazines, worship. Visiting the mall, that subscription to Amazon Prime so you get your stuff a day early, worship. That fashion blog you visit, worship. Even the work you put in to get the money to buy those things that you find as a good life, it's all worship. Worship is what takes place when you actively pursue something that you want. So if the mall has something, if you've been influenced that something at the mall, and you believe that that's going to give you the good life, you believe that is what is desirable, then worship is everything you do to achieve that. It's everything you do to find that. But it might not be the mall for you. It could be fitness. It could be obtaining knowledge and wisdom. It could be enjoying comfort or leisure. It could be experiencing a loving family. It could be achieving a moral Christian lifestyle. Worship is everything you do to achieve what you think and what you've decided is the good life. And just a note, according to our passage this morning, if the good life is associated with any of these things that I just mentioned, our passage this morning calls them idols. Because those are all created things. They are not of the Creator. And let's be honest, our culture, our society, and many of us at our when we're not at our best, we all actively pursue idols. But what about this community? What about this congregation? I would imagine that if I asked, what's the good life, what's the redeemed life, you probably wouldn't mention any of the things I said. You'd probably say the good life is found in a connection with God. The good life is found when we glorify and when we enjoy God forever. The good life is found as we honor God. Life is meaningful when we connect with God. So, if the Lord who made the heavens, as our passage says today, is our desire, if that's truly what we want, then everything we do that pursues God is our act of worship. And here's the point this morning, and this is truly humbling. What we do here on Sunday mornings, and what we do here on Sunday mornings that hopefully spills into the rest of our lives, as we read and sing together prayers and songs, as we confess and receive grace, as we give ourselves over to the healing of the world as we do in our offering, but as we also do as we serve the world the rest of the week, as we immerse ourselves in God's Scripture, our authority for all things of faith and life, as we pass the peace and greet one another, these are the activities of people who are actively pursuing God. These are the activities that the church has decided over thousands of years the necessary things in order to chase after the good life, which is a life connected to God. This is worship, and we cannot take it lightly. What are we doing here? How do we connect with God? It's worship. It's actively pursuing God. And isn't it funny that when we actively pursue God, we find out that all we're doing is reminding ourselves that God has already pursued us. Right? The active pursuit of God is putting yourself in the place where we're reminded over and over that God is the one who pursued us. This is the first step of this church's strategy. It's worship. And it goes on to grow and to serve. So if you have been influenced to think that the good life, that's what's compelling, that's what's needed, is the acquisition of materials of beauty and style and color, then your worship is everything you do to obtain that. And it's the same with knowledge or comfort or relationships or anything like that. But according to our passage today, those are all idols. But if you desire, and what you truly want, your idea of the good life is found in connecting to God, the Creator, the Maker of heaven, as our passage says today, that's what we're here to do. That's why we do what we're doing each and every Sunday. That's why what we do each and every Sunday is hopefully teaching us so much that it spills over into the rest of our week. That is worship. And so as we go, may we remember that what we're doing here is so much more significant than the singing of songs and the praying of prayers. We are actively pursuing the God of heaven. May it be so. Amen.